Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in to our teaching today. Let's pray and ask God to anoint what we speak. Lord, in the name of Jesus, anoint our words, anoint thy word that comes through our lips. And God, send it out. You said it would not come return back void. God, just work miracles in the lives of those that receive it. Broaden their understanding and their knowledge of the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We want to teach on a subject today entitled In Him, and that Him we're meaning to be Jesus Christ. Are you in Him today is the question we might ask. In Ephesians in the first chapter in verse 4, according that He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, you know, a lot of people preach predestination, and they say we were either predestined to be lost or to be saved, and I don't go along with that understanding. It's just not a register in my spirit, because I believe that God has chose all to hear the gospel, and He left it in our hands whether we choose the way of righteousness or we choose the way of unrighteousness. We either accept Jesus or we reject Him. It's up to the individual what they want to do with the truth. In Romans 8 and 28, and right after that, but that verse that we all know by heart, and we know that all things work together for the good to them love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Then it goes into this understanding of predestination in verse 29. Of 8th chapter Romans, for who He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom that He justified, them He also glorified. And in verse 31, it gives us this understanding. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The way I see predestination, yes, God knew who was going to be saved and who was not going to be saved. But God gave us a free, over 4,000 times alone in the New Testament, God in one way or another made it clear that we have a right to choose, and we can choose either Jesus or we can reject Him. But all those that receive the truth, He predestinated that they would become conformed to the image of the Son of God. In other words, if you accept Jesus, you're going to become Christ-like. Now, if you reject Jesus and you walk away from the truth and have nothing to do with the truth, then so be it. You're not going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So the predestination to say that a set number is to be lost and a set number is going to be saved and God set that in motion from the foundation of the world, that's not exactly what God was meaning in this understanding. He set from the foundation of the world that we would have to have a plan to be saved. And that plan, the Lamb of God, Jesus, was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world in the great foreknowledge of God. So you've got to put God in the spectrum where He is. He knows all things, sees all things. And you have to accept that. But then come back and realize that God has the power to give you the opportunity to choose what you want. Once you choose it, then He goes to work in your life and we become Christ-like. We look at Acts 17 and 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That Galatians 2 and 20 is a powerful verse of Scripture. I love it. And if you study it out, you'll love it too, because Christ, he died for us. Bible says while we were yet in sin, he died for us. And when he died for us, then he starts living through us. I've heard people say, well, it's just hard to live a Christian life. Well, it is if you don't have Christ. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, then that predestination goes to work in the fact you're going to become Christ-like. And this is the fulfillment of it. And Paul here to the Galatians explained that in this verse. And I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then in John 17 chapter, we want to go there for the reading of that. You need to take the time to study this entire chapter. We wouldn't have the time to read it and go into all of it. But in the beginning verses of that, these are the words, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then he comes on down in verse 14. I won't take the time to read all that, but mark it down. Read that 17th chapter. It's powerful and has a lot of great understanding. In verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And that's the truth. I'm scared to death of preachers that everybody loves. I'm just scared to death of them. I'm scared to death of churches that people, sinners, and everybody just flocks to them because they have no truth in them, they have no power in them, and they're not preaching the message of the cross. Because if you're preaching the message of the cross, the world's going to hate you, plain and simple, and they're going to fight against you, and they're going to war against you. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And this is the work of sanctification that goes forth, and this is that which brings the Christ-like nature in a person. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we brought a teaching to you some time back about how we're sanctified by the blood, the truth, the word, and the spirit. And all those fulfill the working of the Spirit in one's life. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And verse 20, neither I pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. This sanctifying power is to all men, and it's to everyone that God offers salvation to. He offers sanctification. Jesus prayed the prayer of sanctification over them, and not only them, but all that is in the world that comes to Christ. Not those that's in the world in worldly sense, but all those that's in the calling of Christ, all those that God has given to him. The Bible said, no man, you know, cometh the Father except the Spirit draweth him. So all that the Spirit draws, Jesus is praying this prayer of sanctification over them. Then in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 in verse 30, but for him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we have in him righteousness. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. And we just covered sanctification by the blood, the spirit, the word, and the truth, and then redemption. That's the price that was paid. He became the propitiation. Jesus paid the price for our redemption. Then in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 and verse 23, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Amen. So we're part of the vine. We're part of the family of God. We've been made one spirit in Him. We are all one with the Father in Christ, and we're one in Him. Then in Galatians in the 13th chapter in verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be a reprobate. And that's a message there within itself, saying unless you have Christ, you are a reprobate. And there are those out there that I believe homosexuality is a process of those, according to Romans, the first chapter, those that when they knew God, they had God in their knowledge, they failed to worship Him, they failed to serve them. God turned them over to a reprobate mind, and that's the fulfillment of that understanding, and that's the reason we got the perversion we got in the world today, because we have men and women that have become reprobates, and I know people that'll just talk up a storm about religion, and they'll talk how they're so religious, and they'll try. I know people that try to prophesy and do all kind of things, but they don't live right. My friend, the whole key to all of it is living right. Amen. You can argue and argue and argue the point of any of the scripture, but you're wasting your breath if you don't live right. The whole key to this thing is righteous, holy living. That didn't get you saved, but that's what it takes to walk with Christ. Because if you don't, you run the risk and you run the danger of being turned over to a reprobate mind and become a reprobate. And that's the reason God said here in Galatians 13 and 5, to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. That's where it is again. Christ has got to be in you. When Christ comes in, He sanctifies you, and He does the work that's needed in your life. And then in Galatians 1 and 27, last part of that verse, it goes on to say, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And thank God that that is what brings us into the place we're in. We're ready to go to heaven. We must be born again. We must be saved. We must take on Christ. We must have the nature of Christ. And God is a holy God. We must have a holy and a righteous nature after we come to Christ. Now, the carnal man's not going to have that. The carnal man, the Bible says the carnal mind, it's enmity against God. It's not even subject to God. And the Bible says neither can it be. You can't walk this thing in the flesh. You can't live this thing in the flesh. You can't go out here without Christ and live a righteous and holy life. Amen. And if you try to, the danger is you become a reprobate. And that's what He warned us so of, is those people that become reprobates because they don't have Christ. They don't have that born-again experience. And without that, you're lost and hopelessly lost. And there's no way you can be saved in your sins or a condition. God saves you out of your sins, not to leave you in your sins. There's no place for any preacher to ever get up and say that you can keep sinning and still have Christ. He said, little children, I wish sin not, but if you do, you have an act with the Father. It takes remitting a sin and repenting of it. And I say that repetitiously because God has drilled that in my spirit. It takes repentance. You've got to acknowledge your sin and bring it before God, and then He will cleanse it and wash it. And then our closing verse for today is Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And how powerful that is today. that we can know that we can climb the mountains, we can overcome the devil, we can win this race, we can be victorious in Christ, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, and you can do the same. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this teaching today, the words of your scripture and the words that you've anointed our lips to speak. And Lord, I ask you now to save that which is lost. And if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl that's listening, that's not sure they're saved, let them pray the sinner's prayer. Let them acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior, repent of their sins, and invite you in to save them and wash them whiter than snow. For the man or woman needs healing, needs a miracle, whatsoever they need, let them call on you and receive him through the blood of Jesus. By your stripes, they were healed. And God, that work you did on Calvary is still available for those that will choose to call upon you and accept your work of grace that you've done for them. Let Christ be formed in them. Paul said he tarried with them till Christ was formed. And God, let Christ be formed in them that they can be victorious in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Till the next teaching.